Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Made on Purpose. Okay, welcome everybody to another episode of Made on Purpose. And I'm super excited today because I get to sit down with Tracy Allard, who is not only has she been my boss, but she's also my friend. And we have a whole story there. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you. It's pretty exciting. This is my first podcast.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually kind of surprising to me.
I think everything else, but I haven't done a podcast.
Well, there's a first for everything.
Yeah.
A first time for everything. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Like, where were you born?
Sure. How
did you grow up?
So as Pam said, I'm Tracy, and we met through politics, which is an interesting way to meet a fellow Christian. I was born and raised in Whitehorse, Yukon. So was my mother, actually, which is very unusual, and moved to Grand Prairie for business, like so many others, in 1997.
Wow.
And at that time, I was about 7 months pregnant with our son, Nicholas, our firstborn. So God had a plan that we would have our family here, and I've lived half my life now in Grand Prairie, and it's a real pleasure, and I love the city, and I love the community, and I love what God's doing here. So
right. Well, yeah, Grand Prairie's great. We didn't actually expect to like it as much as we did either. We moved here five years ago now. And in the back of our minds, it was like, okay, we'll stay for 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, God, we'll give it a 5-year plan. And then, of course, you're going to move us on. And there's no plans to move on. So Grand Prairie's a funny place that way.
It is. So interesting, we came buying businesses. So our plan was to stay forever.
Okay.
which is unusual. That's not the typical Grand Prairie story.
No.
But I'm so delighted that it felt immediately like we put down roots, and it's been a real blessing in so many ways.
Right. And you have three kids.
We have three kids. Nicholas will be 26 this fall. Alexander's 22, and Isabel is 19, 20 this summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that we met in politics.
We did.
So tell me a little bit about what was your role in politics? How did you get into that? Like, is this something you always wanted to do, or?
So I don't think I ever really aspired to be elected. I would say that that's a no. But when I look back, I think God is so interesting how you can't connect the dots until you see them.
Right.
And looking back is often, you know, that saying, hindsight's 20/20. I think looking back, I can see a lot of dots that were connecting a long time ago when I was, oh goodness, 13, I think, 12 or 13, I campaigned for Brian Mulroney federally.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, when I look back, I go, oh, there's a big dot that I didn't really see. My grandparents were very active in politics, as were my parents, more on the volunteer side, the constituency side. So anyway, fast forward, moved to Grand Prairie, run our businesses, have our three kids. Life is good. Alberta is fantastic. We moved from British Columbia, where we took 50 cents on the dollar for our house 4 years later. We moved to a community called Prince Rupert that had 18,000 people when we moved there. And 4 years later, when we were leaving, it was down to 12,000 and shrinking.
Wow.
So the sort of the after effects of a leftist government, big effect on our family financially, big effect on our business, big stress. And when I saw the politics turning in Alberta in 2015 and the shocking results of that election that everybody seems to be shocked by, it was like the surprise government, I knew that something had to change. And so I started praying that God would do something different. And they say, be careful what you pray for.
Yeah.
And I can attest to that. So I didn't really choose to go into politics. God chose me
right.
to go into politics. And we had many arguments and discussions about whether that was a good idea or not. But in the end, that's my story. I was in MLA for 4 years.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because oftentimes when we think about, you know, what God has for us, you know, what's our purpose? What's your divine individual thing for me to do? And I mean, there's so much that can be said about that, but we can come at it oftentimes with one of two mindsets. Not that these are the only two, but the mindset of, if I surrender to God's will for my life, I'm going to marry someone that I don't even think is handsome. I'm going to have to, you know, go be a missionary on some deserted island somewhere. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, so we have this concept of, I think we don't really have a revelation of the goodness of God in that. But the other mindset is that God put all the desires in me, you know, So he wired me a specific way. He would never ask me to do something that I don't want to do, you know, that doesn't work with me. Mm-hmm. And I think that can also be probably just immature, because I think God puts things in us, but we're not necessarily grown to the place where it's completely filtered in a godly way. Like, we have our experiences and everything attached to it. So we're not actually the best judge of what's best for us in that sense, you know?
That's so true. And I would agree with both sides of that mm-hmm. sort of paradigm, that don't make me do something I don't want to do. I would say that that was part of my journey into politics. It was so scary mm-hmm. to put myself out there. And, you know, I'll just say this, for 20 almost 25 years, I had worn Lululemon yoga pants.
I cannot see this, Tracy.
And or a Tim Hortons uniform.
Right.
I was a mom of three little kids.
Yeah.
I worked from home. It was always a battle between making dinner, doing the laundry, and doing the books.
Right.
And spending time with those three beautiful children. And I, you know, part of the gift of politics, I think, for me was actually learning that it's not selfish to take care of me, even physically, to buy clothes. I was always the last person. And it's not that my husband wanted that or my kids wanted that. I just was busy doing all the other roles. So I forgot about the role of self-care.
Right.
So it was very interesting. And when I stepped into politics, I was like, oh my goodness, they're going to take pictures of me. I have to do videos. I have to do podcasts.
Yeah.
Very, very unskilled in that area. And it was a real stretch for me. But I think God knows, you know, he knows best. And I think back to the times in my life when they were the hardest, they were also the most fruitful every time. I learned the most. I grew the most. I got closer to God every time. And so, you know, we say in business, you don't learn how to run your business when everything's easy. You learn how to run your business when it's hard.
Yeah.
That's when you get really good at running your business. And it's the same thing in your spiritual walk. Mm-hmm. I had in the campaign last time in 20, I guess it was just before the election was called. So it was pre-writ. I was out at PRBI, which is the Bible school, and I got this really surprising question. I thought it was surprising, from a Bible school student. And they said, if you're going to be an MLA and a mom, how are you going to have work-life balance?
Okay.
And I thought, that's a very interesting question. I also thought, interestingly enough, that would a guy get this question? Huh. I just had that thought. I don't know. Maybe they would. But I thought it was interesting that they honed in on the fact that I was a mom and how would I have work-life balance. And I had to really think about that. And like so many other paradigms we bring to our walk with God, mm-hmm. I think we have this human perspective of what balance looks like.
Yes.
And it's like equal parts. And my answer, I swear it came from the Holy Spirit, because it sure didn't come from my brain. But I said, you know, I believe that work-life balance flows out of walking with the Father. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in the center of God's will, that is balance.
Yeah.
It might not look balanced to the human definition, but, you know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and
yep.
He sets our feet on the path of righteousness. And so I really thought a lot about that after that, obviously, because 4 years later, I'm still thinking about it. But, you know, I thought, I can't infuse my human perspective on this political role and journey, because it's not going to look, I had no idea then.
Right.
But boy, was I right. It's not going to look like I expect.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally not what you would have expected, right?
No.
So you were saying how, you know, you don't learn to run your business when everything's going well.
Mm-hmm.
And where you really grow is under the pressure. And I love that, because God loves us so much that he doesn't leave us the way that we are.
Yes.
And so he will allow us to walk through things that don't feel so good.
Yeah.
But like you said, if our hand is in his and we're walking through with him, we can come out better on the other side. Mm. Simon and I, my husband and I, were just having a conversation last night again, which we have this conversation often, about the beauty that comes in brokenness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been, I can think of very specific times in my life, like going through my divorce, that seemed like the blackest, mm-hmm. And even pre-divorce, like, but there was a nearness with the Lord that I wouldn't have experienced otherwise. Mm-hmm. It was just me and him, mm-hmm. and nobody else mattered. And so I would have done anything. I would have gone out on the street corner and started preaching on soapbox if he asked me to, because I just didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
He was the only one that mattered. I was so broken and hurting, but there was this sweetness in my relationship with the Lord. So I never wish hard things on people. And even when I think about my kids, I think, God, like, it just brings me to tears because I know mm-hmm. there's hard things coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I don't actually want to pray that God spare them from that mm-hmm. because I know the beauty of brokenness mm-hmm. and where the Lord can meet you in that. And so the beauty of walking with the Lord through the difficult times mm-hmm. and the way you must have grown in your relationship with the Lord as you walked out those 4 years as the MLA in some of the toughest years Alberta has probably ever seen on many levels. Mm-hmm. And was it fun?
No. It's fun at times.
Yeah.
But I don't think fun is the first word that would come to mind to describe it. It was taxing. It was heavy. It was exhilarating. It was all the things. It was a mishmash. And I think, you know, often in church circles we say, don't lean on your emotions because they're unreliable. And I actually feel like, but God gave us emotions as a litmus test for where we're at. And so
right.
part of my journey as a kid growing up in church was to be emotionally unavailable with myself. And I realized through this year, I would say 5 years of politics, really, because of the nomination and all the prep for that, you know, to be honest with myself, I had to also acknowledge my emotions.
Yeah.
To get to a better place, I had to also acknowledge with myself, this was tough. You know, this was harder than I thought. This was more challenging. Ooh, that didn't go the way I thought. Ooh, that video, that was not good. You know, whatever yes. it was. And I mean, I have said many times that this journey with politics is the best personal development program I've ever done, because it's been a constant exercise of choosing to love myself, and I'm not good at that. Mm-hmm. I think many of us are not good at that, which is sad. I think God wants us to see ourselves as he sees us, and that's hard.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I'll speak for myself. I see the bump, the wart, the bulge, the whatever.
Yes.
Not all the things that other people see. So when other people say, oh, it must be so nice to be you, I think, really?
Right.
Or you've got it all together. I think, oh, if you had any idea.
People
I lived
just
in yoga pants
know.
And a Tim Hortons uniform, people. I was not a politician. I was not polished.
Yeah.
And I remember one time at the legislature, there was a deputy minister who I really respected. I would say she was probably the strongest in government and just a total boss mm-hmm. and a boss lady. Just so solid. I had so much respect for her. And she came up to me and she said, you are the best dressed person in government. And I just about spit my coffee on her because I thought, you have no idea, yeah. first of all, coming from you, what that means to me. And second of all, where I've come from, you know, it mm-hmm. was just such an affirmation. And I kind of laughed with God later that, you know, the deepest insecurity, mm-hmm. it'll keep coming up
yeah.
until you actually get right with God over it. There's a book, I think it's Beth Moore, Breaking Free, I think is the title. I read it a long time ago. But the profound thing in there for me was that confession is not the same as repentance.
Right.
I think we talked about this in the office. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was really mind-blowing for me, because the difference is confession is a part of repentance, but repentance has a second part, and that's realigning with truth.
That's right.
And I think for women, particularly women in leadership, whether it's government, entertainment, business, church leadership, wherever you're at, that you lead a sphere of influence that's more significant, I think women kind of hold themselves to a higher account.
Right.
And we get a bit of a bad rap. And one of the things that I've learned through this political journey is that if I don't align with truth, and that is the truth of who God says I am, mm-hmm. the identity that God placed in me, if I don't actually claim that as truth and fill my mind with that, then I will walk in all sorts of counterfeits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, that's so good.
And it's so self-defeating.
Very.
Yeah. And it's hard because you do it over and over, and I would think, what is going on here that I'm right back where I started? Like, I'm sure I'm more evolved than this.
Right.
And then here we are again. I get to yeah. deal with this insecurity again.
Again and again.
And again yeah. and again. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's learn.
Yes.
Let's learn.
And let's have the grace for ourselves to be not perfect. I mean,
yes.
You know, there's so many ways that we hold ourselves to a to a higher account than is even reasonable. Mm-hmm. And I see it in the younger generation. I see it in my kids, especially my daughter. And I just think, if that's one gift I can give to the political world, to say, hey, I came from coffee and donuts, yoga pants and Tim Hortons uniform.
Yes.
And I had, by most accounts, a fairly successful term. It was a rocky term, but I did a lot of great things. And
yeah,
that was God shining through me. And I think this is supposed to be about purpose. I think, at least for myself, sometimes I think of purpose and it has to be lofty. Mm-hmm. But when I look back on the periods of my life that were the most significant, gosh, I think who I married, obviously where we lived, but the three kids that we've had, and those times of playing with the kids in the backyard were just as infused with purpose, if not more so, mm-hmm. building into the next generation, mm-hmm. than holding a big board position or being elected or having big, you know, lofty businesses or doing some revolutionary new thing. I also think that we as women tend to not translate our skill set.
Right.
So I was just a mom, or I was just in those yoga pants, right? Well, a lot of the things I did every day, managing a household budget and dealing with the books for the office and dealing with legal and legislative work for our businesses with over 300 employees, I just assumed that was just normal. And,
right.
You know, I feel like women, we often sell ourselves short that we don't have anything to offer, and that couldn't be further from the truth. And that goes back to repentance, because mm-hmm. that's not what God says.
Right.
God doesn't say that about us. And again, it's, if I'm walking in his will, I am on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's I'm taking a step back into the shadow. And I remember a time in my life when I was on the church board and I was running the Sunday school and I was doing all the things. And then we had our second child, and that was a bit discombobulating, to say the least. He did not believe in sleeping,
right,
for one. And I remember feeling like I was a little bit shelved. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really have much to offer right now. And God was like, oh no, this is where you have the most to offer, because you can pray.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you know, I have missed the biggest power, I think, in our spiritual walk is the power of prayer and the power of intercession, mm-hmm. before we do anything. I remember going back to the board meeting at that church and saying, have we prayed about this? Or are we just making a business decision? Because those are not the same thing.
Yeah.
And being called to a life of prayer from that moment, like that would be almost 23 years ago, yeah, was really powerful. I had no idea what that was going to hold. Matter of fact, probably 10 years before we were ever elected, we had this little Holy Spirit group, we called them, and we would get together. It was a group of moms,
mm-hmm.
and we would get together after the kids went to sleep. So it would be like 9,
right,
10 at night.
It's literally the only time you have.
Yeah, yeah. So the husband was like, okay, I'm going to bed. And I remember thinking, like, I'm a Baptist,
right?
Born and raised, so we better get out our checklists. So we can work down our prayer requests or whatever, yeah, the things we need to pray for. Like, let's get organized. And it was a really evolutionary time.
Wow.
In my spiritual walk, because it wasn't a rote, predetermined. It was a list. It was a conversation with God.
Yep.
And the very first night we did it, it was just me and a friend that started. Her name's Janine, and I knew it was real because for over an hour, I would hear something, a Bible verse, a name, a city, whatever.
Yeah.
And she would pray it out loud. And I was like, how are you doing?
Whoa, what's happening?
What is happening? And then the same was true of her. And we were so mind blown after that we knew there was power. So fast forward, we grew to 4 and then 5 and then 6. And we would get together and we would pray till we were done, which was very not Baptist at all. You know, that's not the way you do it. It's like 1 hour.
Yeah.
So we would pray till 3 in the morning.
Wow.
Sometimes it was pretty crazy. And I would get up the next day in my yoga pants and go to church. Or no, not to church. Go to the gym, probably. I really didn't wear yoga pants to church, I promise you. But I would outlift the guys that day or whatever.
Right.
And it was another evidence. It made me think of, you know, the Old Testament where they only ate fruit. And, they, you know, he didn't go, yes, on the same diet, but he was stronger at,
yeah,
the end.
Yeah.
And that was Daniel, right?
Yep, yeah. Right, yeah.
And so I just, you know, God then laid on their hearts these phrases that I'd never heard before. The manifest presence of God's glory. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about being on purpose.
Yeah.
If you are walking in the fullness of who you were created to be, you are on purpose.
Yes.
You are like expressing the manifest presence of God's glory. And I've never heard that phrase to my knowledge until we heard it in prayer. And then I started to see it everywhere.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And the other one was, we wanted to restore the seats of power, restore righteousness to all the seats of power and influence.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just government. It was like entertainment. It was Hollywood. It was, you know, education and healthcare and business and not-for-profits and, of course, faith. And as we started to pray that, I mean, that just felt like so powerful. Well, little did we know, the original two, me and Janine, I was elected, and so was Janine's brother the same year.
Oh, wow.
We had no plans for that.
You had no idea that you were laying the groundwork in the spirit the next election.
So be careful what you pray for, people. But it was, I mean, I wouldn't have changed a thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I love, if you're walking with the Lord, you're walking on purpose. Mm-hmm. You're walking in your purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's about being obedient. And like you said, sometimes we have this idea that it needs to be a lofty thing. Well, my purpose is, it's got to be big. You know, I'm going to make a big splash in the world. But sometimes our big splash comes in a really humble way.
Oh, yeah.
And like your prayers as a mom in your yoga pants, meeting with one other mom late in the night, like that seems... in the natural, it's very insignificant.
Yeah.
Your two moms probably hoping to get some adult time.
Yeah.
And some connection. And now you're praying and you're seeking the Lord, but it's powerful. Mm-hmm. And you are also developing a lifestyle and a habit that would carry you through the years ahead.
Oh, totally. That's another dot, right?
Yes.
And developing a muscle.
Yes.
You know, I think about the gym. I went to the gym for that season and... I was like, wow, I'm sore in places I didn't know there would be muscles.
Yes.
And I think it's kind of funny, but it's the same in the spirit. You know, you start to exercise a muscle that you didn't know you have spiritually. It can be a little bit bumpy and painful. It'd be like, ooh, I don't know if that went well. But man, what a growth and learning opportunity. And God was so faithful to develop those things along the way. And in the rockiest times of this term, man, I could cling to those prayers and those prayer warriors that sat with me and prayed with me and begged God for mercy over our province with me and, you know, all of
that. So in a way, even God was bringing a network for you.
Oh, yeah.
So he was building the net of support for you for your next step in your journey, which is actually pretty cool.
Through the darkest times of COVID, we Zoom called prayer.
Yeah.
Kind of emergency. And it was so funny. I wasn't smart enough to realize you could buy a subscription to Zoom. So we would get dumped off after, I don't know, 19 or 20 minutes or whatever. And so we'd reconnect. So we did that for a while before we bought the subscription. It was pretty funny. But, you know, even that, I mean, just the power of connection. And we exist to be in connection. God himself modeled connection. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to say this. If you are... seeking God, that's lofty.
Yes,
if you're obedient unto the smallest thing, that's lofty behavior. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to say yes, I want to run again, but you've asked me to step back, that's dangerous. That's lofty.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, then there's the expectations of man, right?
Yes.
Which we have to be so vigilant to take the time to quiet ourselves before the Lord so we can quiet all those other voices and to be able to hear him clearly. Because how are we supposed to walk that step, the next step in any sense of confidence when everything's so noisy? And then we can get ourselves into this position where what we feel like, or maybe even what has been spoken over us as expectation or obligation from the outside, will weigh us down. And we can start making decisions in that area. But what if you're stepping out of God's will? Like you said, you're stepping into dangerous territory.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out of obedience, you're stepping out of blessing, you're stepping out of protection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's God's grace. It's his grace that we don't screw up more than we do. It's God's grace that we don't suffer more consequences for our humanness than we do.
Mm-hmm.
But just to make a priority like you were doing in those earlier days of seeking the Lord,
mm-hmm.
of learning to hear his voice and walking in that.
Mm-hmm. It's so important. And, you know, I learned, so I led prayer mm-hmm. for our caucus for those 4 years, not perfectly for the 4 years, but pretty much
yeah,
every Monday. And then through about 18 to 20 months of COVID, sort of the hardest chunk there, I led it Monday to Friday because it was just, there were so many colleagues that were just at the edge of their
yes.
ability to handle it. It was just so tough. Mm-hmm. And I learned again, you know, gratitude is this express pass. It's like Disneyland's fast pass into his presence. You know, you can yeah. be on the ride right now. But the trick isn't to run in and out. Thank you for this. I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm out again. Thank you for that. I'm
yeah.
It's to get there and stay there as long as you can.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were in church on Sunday. Well, we were in church together. Mm-hmm. Funny that we met in politics and we actually went to the same church.
Yes.
So bizarre. Anyway, and I love that he preached on Joel 2:25. I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. I think, yep. you know, that is partly Alberta's story. And I mm-hmm. think these 4 years for so many of us felt like we kind of got ripped off. Like, what? This was our term. We were the team that was, we were the dream team.
Right.
We were coming in with so much hope and promise. But, you know, I had a friend say to me, but what if you were the dream team? We had to have that skill set, that capacity. Mm-hmm. We had to have that deep bench. Even though most of you were brand new to politics, we needed that particular mix. God was so gracious and faithful to bring that particular mix to the table mm-hmm. for such a time as this. And that really resonated with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've also thought about that as well. Like everything that went on in the last 4 years. Like it kind of derailed like the good plans, right? Because everything's put on this hiatus for what was supposed to be a few weeks, which turned into months, which turned into years, and then all the aftermath. And you think, well, what was the point? Mm-hmm. But I felt so strongly too that God had handpicked and put into place the people that needed to be there
yeah.
that could weather the storm because they were rooted in Him.
Yes.
So the roots were deep, so the storm wasn't going to topple them. And so the province, the other politicians that you had influence on, they needed that. They needed the strong trees of righteousness. They needed those strong trees of the Lord, which provided shelter, which provided comfort, which provided shade, you know. So that's the picture I see when I think about that. So that's exciting to me.
It is. It's like Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 63, a righteous oak,
mm-hmm.
the planting of the Lord for the display yes. of His splendor, you know? And
yeah.
I think sometimes we expect to display it differently, mm-hmm. but being the prayer warrior
mm-hmm.
is displaying it. And it's hard to acknowledge that when you're in it.
Yeah.
I also think through these many years, these 10, 15 years of praying with these Holy Spirit ladies, you know, God is so direct with me and He's like, if you and I are good, everybody else has to deal.
That's right.
Everybody else has to deal.
Nothing else matters.
If you and I are clear,
yeah,
then it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And that was such a tool for me in politics because I, like so many others, fall into the trap of what will people think?
Right.
And you know what? At some level, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It only matters what God thinks. Yeah. And that's a really tough line to walk sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's an important one. I remember years ago, I did this program called Choices, and other than who I married and my salvation, it was a pretty big turning point for me in my life because it showed me that I was using my theology as a shield mm-hmm. and God had to squish through my version of Him, like my box.
Right.
Versus my theology is supposed to be the character and study of God. And so if my experiences didn't fit, I had to squish it through my theology somehow.
Yes.
And anyway, Choices was a really profound spiritual awakening and a paradigm shift, which was really tough for me. I don't shift paradigms easily. Through that time, it's all about getting more of what you want in life.
Right.
And I realized I wanted more of God. So one of the things I decided was, you know, New Year's resolutions don't have to be cliche.
No.
They usually are. They were for me for many years.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, what would a non-cliche resolution look like? What would mm-hmm. that sound like? Mm-hmm. I know who I could ask. I could ask God.
Yeah.
So we had this fight because, yeah, this is my personality. He told me, your New Year's resolution will be to listen. And I thought, what does
right.
that mean? First of all, I'm a good listener. And I had a big attitude and told God that this was ridiculous. We needed something a little bit more meaty.
Yes.
And this is one of those dots again.
Yeah.
And, you know, the answer I got back was pretty clear. Well, you're not even listening to me right now.
Yes.
Busted. Okay. Very humbling. And again, that was years ago, way before I even thought of the concept of potentially running ever. Yeah. And man, how many times has that served me sitting in the constituency office, listening to a really hard story or really confusing, or sometimes having a meeting with multiple people and they're all trying to talk to you at once and trying to sort out what's really the issue here.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that God, you know, in his patience and grace,
yeah,
taught me to listen for a whole year. And I learned so much that year about how bad a listener I was. It's crazy, actually. It's crazy.
There is a lot of listening that goes along with being any sort of government official.
Yes. Well, you would know that too, right?
Yeah. And just the having to make people understood that they've been heard, whether or not you agree with them. I mean, that's, I can attest to the skill and the skill of listening, because it's a lot of people aren't very good at that, that you had worked through with the Lord prior to coming in, prior to me meeting you, because I watched you and listened to you talking to people, and I'm just like, oh Lord, I can think of, you know, all these times that I'm like, I would have jumped in and said that, I would have, like, you know, because you have an answer right now, and then, but you had this ability to so graciously let people tell their story. But the thing is too, I had noticed that you didn't pull punches, because you always spoke the truth. And if there was nothing you could do, there's nothing you could do, but you had a way of communicating that communicated care and understanding for that person. And so, I mean, the Lord was developing you for that.
And talk about that, right? When we draw near to him, that was another one of my New Year's resolutions, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And that was a very interesting year as well. But as we draw near to him, we reflect him more clearly. And as we do that, again, it doesn't look like what you think. It's not this lofty picture. It's not this earthly paradigm.
Yeah.
And so many times in the Consid office, I would be praying and I would be thinking about, oh, I don't know how this meeting's going to go. But the second half of that for me was really the belt of truth. Years and years and years ago, there was a family situation, and it's a very long story, but God had me up through the night. And I was like perplexed, because I didn't, you know, again, I was a Baptist. I didn't checklist way.
What's going on?
And I was like, why am I still awake? And why does it feel like God wants me to read this passage again?
Yeah.
And it was the passage on the armor.
Okay.
And so I read it and I, you know, read it again. I'd read it again. I'm like, okay, it's like 3 a.m. Could we just go to bed now? But no, it was a really fervent call on my heart. And I finally had this breakthrough, and I don't know what time it was, 5 or 6 a.m. And it was just, you know, God is a God of order. Everything is ordered in his world, and including the armor. And the first piece of armor is the belt of truth. You can put all the other pieces on, but if you didn't start with truth, you're fighting for a lie. So you're fighting for the wrong side. And it was just such a revelation. And I believe, so it's very affirming for you to say that to me about politics, because I hadn't thought about that till now. But I do believe that part of listening, first of all, listening doesn't mean I agree with you. It just means I hear you.
Yeah.
And the other part of it, if you're going to be compassionate, is to be willing to speak truth into the void. And that can be really tough, especially when somebody's very broken, very emotional, very charged.
Yeah.
COVID was all of those things.
Yeah.
And to be able to listen with compassion but speak truth was a gift from God, really.
100%.
Yeah.
I like what you're saying too. We've said it a couple times, actually. This is not what I thought it would look like,
no,
you know?
No.
And I think, again, coming back to that, there's so many, and there's men too, but I think women especially in the role of motherhood and all that, what, maybe they had been working outside the home, maybe they were a little career focused and now they're moms, or maybe they just always wanted to be a mom, but there's this thing that we diminish ourselves, like you said, and we have an idea of what walking in purpose is supposed to look like, but it's not necessarily what it's supposed to look like. Like, it's our own picture, And I just want to say, can we just stop that? Can we just say, okay, God, can you just wipe that clean? Can you wipe my mindset of what I think following you is supposed to look like? What I think stepping into my purpose is supposed to look like? Can you wipe it clean? And can you start drawing on that whiteboard and showing me what it looks like? The Bible says the steps of a good man or a woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he falls, he will not be kept down.
For the Lord upholds him with his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just take away the picture. Take away this preconceived idea of what your purpose is supposed to be and supposed to look like. Ultimately, our purpose is to know God and to love him. That's the sole chief purpose of man, right? To have relationship with God. That was in the garden. Mm-hmm. God wanted someone to walk and talk with. He's about community. But we're here on the earth now in Jesus' place, carrying his spirit to spread the gospel. And what does that look like? It's not always from the pulpit. Sometimes it's with our kids. Sometimes it's just at the grocery store, you know, in the way we live our life. We don't understand. We don't see the people that are watching us as we walk in obedience. So let's just, I just want to encourage people to drop your preconceived ideas.
Yes.
And go to the quiet place. Mm-hmm. Go to the cave with the Lord and start to learn to hear his voice. Because as you walk step by step, yeah, you're going to mess up.
Yeah. Oh, I promise you, I did lots of
step out of line.
Politics too.
But the Lord is gracious and he's going to keep taking you through. And as you walk in obedience to the Lord, may you have the revelation that I'm actually walking out my purpose.
Yes.
Because he's leading me through it. It's not that complicated.
It's not. And I think so many times, at least for me, I've shrunk back from the full calling or from the fullness of my identity in a moment. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was too loud. Maybe I laughed and other people didn't find that funny.
Right.
Maybe I was in yoga pants and other people weren't. Whatever it is. And I just think it's sad because God planted that identity in us. And so, you know, part of the metamorphosis of me being in a public role, and I think that was the difference. I've been in leadership roles my whole life, really, my whole life. But public leadership where you're scrutinized in social media and you're scrutinized in unexpected places, you're videoed at the grocery store.
Right. Oh, my word.
Right? I mean, wow, guys, really? I was taking out my garbage. That was worth a video? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a whole different level. Mm-hmm. And it allowed me to flex that new muscle of you're still Tracy. You're still who you are. Mm-hmm. You're still the same person that I created and you're still magnificent.
Yes.
You're still fearfully and wonderfully made. Yeah. You're still created in my image.
Wow.
Though he fall, he shall not be cast down. It's like, okay. And so all these things, he will restore the years the locusts have eaten. He will use those fumbles. Maybe they're not even fumbles, but he will use those circumstances for his glory.
Yeah.
And the power, the real power shot is when you just obey and you lay it down.
Yeah.
Again, if God and I are good, everybody else has to deal.
Yeah. And the humility, just being humble. Hey, just, it takes humility to be in obedience.
Well, it was interesting. Years ago, I had a mentor. Her name was Eggy Clausen, and we were on the church board together, and she was just amazing. And she gave me this book. I always get it wrong. I think it's Gordon MacDonald. It's either George or Gordon, but I'm pretty sure it's Gordon MacDonald, Ordering Your Private World. And I thought it was profound.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest things in there was know who you are and know who you're not.
Okay.
And, you know, it came up recently when I decided to step back from politics because I didn't decide. God called me. He called me in and he called me out. Mm-hmm. And so funny, I fight with him the whole time. I don't want to be in politics. I want to do something else. I'll help somebody be in politics.
Yeah.
I'll be the background person. He's like, well, what about thy will be done? Okay, so I land in politics begrudgingly. And then the call was, you need to step in the fullness of this platform. Mm-hmm. You have to stop shrinking back. I remember very early in the term, there was a fire, a wildfire up in Paddle Prairie, and there was a bunch of people coming into Grand Prairie. And it was a really scary time for a lot of people. And I was called back from Edmonton to help the minister. And so I was here. And there was a lot going on. I was brand new. You know, we were maybe 6 weeks into the term kind of thing. And this gentleman said to me, he was in the lineup waiting for aid from the government. And I was working my way down the line. He's like, who are you? I said, I'm Tracy. He's like, no, who are you?
Oh, wow.
I'm Tracy. Hi. He's like, no. Who are you? It took him three times before I said, oh, I'm the new MLA. And it was almost like, I'm the new MLA with a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from that experience that God's like, stop shrinking back. I've given you this platform. I want you to use it for my purposes, mm-hmm. not for your ego.
Yeah.
But it's also ego that pushes us away from where 100%. We're supposed to be. Yeah. Right. It's also ego mm-hmm. that says, who do you think you are that you're doing this? That's also your ego driving. And so that was a real epiphany for me. And it was a real challenge to continue to put both feet solidly on the platform that I'd been given and say, okay, yes, Lord, this is a next level. Yes, Lord. And to know who I am and know who I'm not, back to that book, and to be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, I got as much pushback leaving politics as I got entering politics because people were begging me to stay on.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what, again, the peace that comes from obedience that says, I know that God is calling me away. I know who yeah. I am and I know who I'm not. And this is not my season anymore for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. The other thing is it says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Mm. It does not say be still and know why.
Huh. That's so good.
Annoying. But there it is.
There it is. Yeah. I love that. And it's so interesting because... you know, we mentioned at the beginning, we got to know each other through politics. Mm-hmm. And how we met was that I was in speaking to our pastor, who I knew that you came to our church, but I had never met you. You right. were still celebrity status in my mind, right? It's like, whoa, Tracy Allard. Yeah. I didn't even know what you looked like.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was talking to her like, man, I think I got to go back to work, but I don't know what to do, what's going to fit. And you know, my heart's not really in it, but what do I do? And she says, you need to send an email into Tracy Allard's office. And I'm like, oh, I really don't want to do that. And even after the meeting with Pastor Charlotte, I waited, I think a couple of weeks. And then finally talking to my husband, I'm like, I can't shake it. I got to send it in. So I sent it in and I actually didn't get a response. Like I think Emily, who was there at the time, had responded. And then like, yeah, we'll get in touch. And then a few weeks went past or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Right.
Yeah.
But eventually a month or more later,
yeah.
I came in for an interview with you. And I remember telling you so clearly, listen, I don't even really know what this job entails. I don't know if this is something I can actually do. I mean, I'm a good learner, but I don't want to be anywhere that the Lord doesn't want me to be. I yeah. said, I know that you're a believer as well, but this is where I stand. I hope you understand that. So if God doesn't want me here, I mean, it's a hard no. Yeah. And and I remember leaving that interview. It was great. We had a great visit, but I left that interview and I'm like, God, don't give me that job. Don't let her call me. Like I had spent all these years going through my divorce, being my own lawyer, doing all this stuff. And I'd been an office assistant before. And I mean, I was good at it, but I'm like, I have no desire to go back. I have no desire to take on the stress of dealing with these high intensity issues that come forward. I'm like, God, it's not in me to do it. Don't let her call me. And in that moment, the Lord showed me a picture when they held up, it was Moses' hands, right?
Yeah.
And they won the battle, but he said, I want you there to hold her hands up.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I want to put you there for that. And the presence of God fell in my vehicle. I couldn't see. I was bawling my eyes out. Yeah. And I knew, even though I didn't get called back for, I don't know however long it was, but
yeah, too long.
It was a long time
yeah.
as things were getting sorted out. And normally I'd be like, oh, I guess I didn't get the job. Mm-hmm. But because the Lord spoke to me literally right after I left your office, I knew I was getting the job. Mm-hmm. And so did I want to step back into an office job? I did not. But here's the thing. I had some gifting in that area.
Yeah.
I've never been trained. You know, I never went to business school or whatever, but I've been trained through life and through other jobs, I guess.
And so, I'll stop you there. As a mom, you have all these transferable skills that you don't
that's
recognize.
That's right. See, the transferable skills. There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
So I did the job. But the interesting thing is, it was a step of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And because I knew I was being obedient to the Lord, I found purpose being there.
Yes.
And it was like, this is not a job anymore. This is a mandate.
Yeah.
This is a job from the Lord. It's a ministry. And during my time in the office, Tracy, I got to pray with people. Yeah. I got to pray with people coming in, you know, that were at the end of the rope, that were like, this is my last stop. I'm trying to figure out how to commit suicide. And just to sit down and talk to them and then pray with them and then carry on with my day. I'm like, God, where else would I meet these people?
Yeah.
You know? So it was so interesting to me that I, out of obedience, went into something that I didn't think I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thoroughly enjoyed a job that I would normally hate.
Yeah. Yeah. And we worked, there was such a synergy, and I felt like I abandoned you. I felt like you got no training. I mean, it was such a discombobulated time.
Yeah.
And God was so gracious and totally, when you told me the hands, holding up the hands, I mean, I wept too, because it was like, that's exactly providential.
Yeah.
And there's so many times in this season that have been unexpected, and there's such hard stories, heartbreaking stories.
Yeah.
Especially heartbreaking when we don't really have tools to help those people.
Yeah.
Those ones really haunted me. But years ago, God gave me this picture in a dream. I was at a beach that I love in Mexico. I've been there many times in my yoga pants, actually. And didn't know that was going to be such a big part of the podcast.
I know. Hey, someone out there is wearing yoga pants right now.
Be like, yeah, she's my hero. Anyway, in this dream, this beautiful beach, and it goes on for miles and miles and miles. Like, you can literally walk down this beach for hours. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. In my dream, the whole beach was covered in buckets. And it was kind of like, what is going on? And I remember being very confused, but God was so clear to show me these buckets are filled with hope. Mm-hmm. And the ocean represented his love, which was exists in unending measure. And so one time I was at that same beach and I was laying back in the water, and to my periphery, all the way around, all I could see was water.
Wow.
Sky, water, nothing else. Me and God, right?
Huh.
And he said, this is the measure of my love for you. It exists in, it makes me cry. Whew.
Yeah.
It exists in unending measure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Didn't think I would cry today.
Yeah.
Here we are. And anyway, pulled together. This dream, all the buckets were drawing of his love, drawing from the ocean of his love and filling with hope. So Tuesday?
Yeah.
Sunday in church, the pastor released hope. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how profound. It was less than 24 hours from the election being called.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2019, God showed me, because that dream made no sense. I was like, okay, well, that's cool, I guess, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that.
Yeah.
As I was knocking on doors for 6 months through the election campaign last time, God was like, remember those buckets of hope? I want you to splash a bucket on every door. Splash a bucket on every door. So I just think the little things we do can be big things, and the big things we do can be little things.
Yeah.
It's not going to look like we expect.
Exactly.
And I'm so grateful that you and I connected. Mm-hmm. We'll be friends forever.
Yes.
I'm so grateful that God, you know, saw fit for us to be in politics at the same time for what, who knows what's coming next.
I know.
But I do feel such a peace.
Yes.
And I do feel such a confidence that I'm right where I'm supposed to be in the middle of the unknown.
Yeah. What a gift.
Hey. What a gift.
What a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Takeaways. It's not going to look what you think it's going to look like.
Nope.
So get rid of that mindset.
Yep. For sure.
And walk in the humility to be able to say every day, not my will, but thine be done. Knowing that he's a good God. He's a good father. You're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes, but he's there to hang on to you and walk you through. So don't wallow in the self-pity.
Yeah.
Be willing to get up. It takes humility to start again.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, I often think about when things started blowing up on social media and in the news world and everything during your beginning years as an MLA. I remember thinking about it when you would walk into the office in the morning some days, and I'm like, How do you get up and show your face in public again when it would be so, everything in me would want to crawl under a rock and never show my face again because there's so much judgment. There's so much, you know, everybody's saying all the things that you do wrong and blah, blah, blah. And nobody's actually really interested in the real story, but everybody's going to jump and attack. People will do that.
They will.
People will do that. But it comes back to what really matters here.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to shut all of that out and come back to that quiet place with the Lord.
Yeah.
What do you have for me? What's my next step? And that is where your strength comes from. That's where the ability to carry on and take that next step, to be able to walk out the door, hold your head high and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I'm walking in your purposes for me, one step at a time. Thank you that you take me through. You take me through, you cover me, you protect me. And so, not going to look like what you think it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga pants to the best dressed politician in Alberta. It's possible.
It's possible.
That picture for me shows that let's be willing to grow.
Yes.
And to learn new things. It's great to be walking in obedience, but God put me in an office situation.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're teaching this class at church. We're doing this and that. If God leads you into those things, don't be like, one thing we say a lot is God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Very true. But we can't slip into this area of not stewarding what he's called us to steward. Yeah. So if he's asking you to step into something, like, I'm sure you read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages to learn your role as an MLA when you stepped into office. So yes, he's qualifying the called.
Yes.
But you have now a responsibility to steward that,
mm-hmm.
and do your best with it. So be willing to put the work in, walk in obedience, be humble. And it's not as nebulous and mysterious as you think.
Yeah.
To be in the purposes of God for your life.
Totally agree. And goes right back to sitting in his presence is where the power is. You know that verse, the joy of the Lord is your strength?
Yep.
Became so tangible and real to me.
Yeah.
Particularly after I was national news for a while.
Yes.
And the ability to walk with my head held high, mm-hmm. not out of pride or ego,
mm-hmm.
but out of calling, purpose, and identity.
Yes. That was your confidence.
And that's the counterfeit, right? We in society think, I can walk around like I got it going on. That's what you should do. Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
But no. You don't have to fake it when you're actually being who God asked you to be, who
That's
God
right.
created you to be. Then you don't have to fake anything. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that the most profound answer is the authentic one, not the fancy one, mm-hmm. not the one with big government terminology. I became more and more and more effective as an MLA and a member of caucus and a member of cabinet when I was just honest and authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So I just bless people out there that are listening with honesty and authenticity, because
mm-hmm.
that's what God asked us to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the only Tracy Allard there is.
Yeah.
I think, you know, be yourself. Everyone else is taken.
Yeah.
And the other thing I'll just say quickly is that I love this author, Brené Brown. I don't know if you've heard of her, but
I haven't.
She is amazing and I would recommend anything she's written, but she talks about a number of things. She talks about putting yourself out there, being in the arena, and that the people who never put themselves out there don't get a vote.
Right.
The ones who are mm-hmm. putting themselves out there. I think that's really a profound thought. She also says that it's not if you fall, it's when you fall, mm-hmm. and that it's the resilience to get back up again. And so I really thought a lot about that in January of 2021. And, you know, what I have an opportunity now, a new platform to plant my feet squarely on, to model resilience, to say, you know what? It's a chapter. It's a story. It doesn't have to be defining.
That's right.
So if you've made mistakes, we all have, mm-hmm. they don't have to define you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tracy, would you mind praying?
No, not at all.
And let's pray for the women and the men out there who are struggling with this idea of purpose, or feel like we heard on Sunday about like so much time has been wasted. And
right.
But just people that they need to start walking in what the Lord has for them, like we've been talking today. So I'll let you, I'm not going to try and define how you're supposed to pray. So just do what you feel from the Spirit, and we'll wrap it up.
So Father God, I thank you for Pam and for the ministry she has here, and for small beginnings that create beautiful ripples into a pond that create mm-hmm. waves that really create transformation and change. And I think it all goes back to obedience. And I think so many times of how you've illustrated to me that obedience is the real power. Obedience brings heaven down to earth. Mm-hmm. So just pray for those out there that are listening today or this week, or maybe in the years to come, they stumble upon this podcast at some point in their life. And I just pray that these words would touch them, not my words, but yours, Father, that the truth would pierce their heart. And if they hear anything, that they would hear that they are worthy, that they are enough because they are fearfully and wonderfully made, mm-hmm. that they are made in the image of God. And so they are image bearers of the King of Kings. And I just pray, Lord, today that each person out there would not get stuck in their paradigm. They wouldn't get stuck in their fear. You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. When you bask in the presence of the Father, when you sit and curl up on his lap, the perfect love that surrounds you in unending measure is more than enough to cover any perceived insecurity, inability. And I love what Pam said about God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Mm-hmm. And so I just thank you, Father, for the way that you equip us, that you're so faithful. And I pray that people out there would hear, I matter. Mm-hmm. I have a calling. I have a purpose. And it's not going to look maybe like I expected to. But Lord, I pray a boldness and a confidence be released out of this podcast for people out there that are wondering, first of all, that they would hone their skill and that muscle to hear your voice. And like me, if they need confirmation, that they would ask of you, that you're so faithful to give that confirmation over and over and over again. And finally, Lord, that there would be a boldness, a release of obedience, such as we've never seen before, that would bring about great revival.
Amen.
In Alberta and in Canada. We pray thy will be done mm-hmm. in Alberta. We pray thy will be done in Canada as it is in heaven. And we just lift this up to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you. That was amazing. Yeah. Went so fast.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. I just pray God's blessing on you as you step out into this next area that he has for you, this next section in your life, and just blessing and refreshing mm-hmm. and a covering and protection too over this time for you and your family and just with the Lord.
Thank you so much. I receive it.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Made on Purpose. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to follow, subscribe, and share so that we can share this story with others. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. We'll